January 28th, Shamanidi Puri. More meditations on the holy name.
Who's Krishna with the mood of Srimati Radhika, feeling separation and meeting with Krishna? We, of course, our perfection is the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Manjari and engaging in her service. Srila Gurudev was once in Italy in around 1999, and in the evening program he told us about what happened on his morning walk. That is, he and Brajanath Prabhu and Lila Purushottama Prabhu, his host, were walking on the beach, and Srila Gurudev was meditating on one verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I hope I remember it. Evam vritam sva priyanama kritya jatanuraga jutta chitta mucchaya hasya tati rodati rautikayam chun madhavan rityati lokabhaya. Actually, this is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran to Ishwara Puripada and said, "What is this name that you've given me?" Ishwara Puri gave the same verse in response to Mahaprabhu. So Gurudev was thinking, as he was chanting his japa, he was thinking of this verse, which means that those who are absorbed in prema bhakti, they're always engaged in chanting very, very loudly the name of Krishna with an absorption in their particular relationship with Krishna. And sometimes they're laughing when they feel Krishna's presence while they're chanting. And sometimes they're weeping when they feel Krishna's disappeared. And they're dancing just like madmen. And they never care for outsiders, what anybody might have an opinion if they're dancing and rolling on the ground. So he said he was thinking of the gopis, that they're the highest emblem of this kind of chanting. Then, all of a sudden, he saw an Alsatian dog. You know what an Alsatian dog is? They're very beautiful in their youth. They're very big and just very beautiful dogs, looking like maybe race dogs. But this Alsatian dog was old, and he was covered with sand. They were at the beach. He was covered with sand, and there was mud in his eyes because, not in his eyes, but all around his eyes, because he was weeping, and then the weeping mixed with the earth and the sand, so it was just like dripping mud. But you could tell that he was previously very, very beautiful. And when Gurudev was sitting, they were all sitting in the car for a while, the dog came over to the car and looked in the car, looking around, and then looked very sad and left and went to another car and did the same thing. And then the dog was sometimes walking to the shore of the ocean. You can imagine that easily because here we are in Puri. Walked to the shore of the ocean, almost walked in, but then turned around. And Gurudev said to his associates, his servants, "Do you know what this dog is thinking? He's many years earlier, he was the dog of a very rich man. And the rich man used to take very good care of him, feed him with his own hand, bathe him. And the dog is thinking, oh, my master loved me so much. He would feed me with his own hand and bathe me. So because he loved me, surely he'll return. So he's always going one car after another looking for his master, but this is many years later. And when he doesn't see his master, then he thinks, there's no point in my living. I should just go drown in the ocean. So he goes to drown in the ocean, but as Gurudev said, it's not so easy to kill yourself. Then he'd come back. And what happened was, years ago, Gurudev is saying, because he knows the heart of everybody, even because he's more than Sukadeva Goswami, even. Sukadeva Goswami is the parrot of Srimati Radhika and was entrusted with such great responsibility by Radha and Krishna that when they were about to leave this world 5,000 years ago and go back to their abode of Goloka Vrindavan, they told their parrot, Radharani's parrot, Sukha, you have to stay here in this world because we want you to spread our glories all over the world. And so Sukadeva Goswami did that. Vasanti, what's the verse about Sukadeva Goswami? Both. Yam pravajanta manapeta mapeta krityam dvai payano viraka taruva juhava putre titan mayataya taruho banedas tam sarva putardayam muni manatosmi. I offer my obeisances to Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who is the greatest of sages. When he was leaving home to go and speak Srimad Bhagavatam, without undergoing, after being in the womb for 11 years, without undergoing any reformatory processes, his father called out to him, oh my son, but only the trees echoed in response to the aggrieved father. And I offer my obeisances to that Sukadeva Goswami who can enter into the hearts of all. So Sukadeva Goswami can enter into the hearts of all because he's Radharani's parrot. So he has so much power. But Srila Gurudev and devotees like him are so much more, we can't even imagine it, that he could be more than Sukadeva Goswami. Why? Because he's Srimati Radhika's maidservant. So he more knows the heart of Srimati Radhika and the heart of Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami was so compassionate. Vasanti, Yaksvanubhava Makila Shruti Sadamekam Adhyatma Deepamatiti Tirsatam Tamandam Tam Sarana Kurunaya Aparanaguyam Tam Vyasasunamapayami Gurumam. I offer obeisances to Sukadeva Goswami, the guru of all the sages, who, out of his immense compassion for all those gross materialists like myself, who are struggling to cross over the ocean, the darkest region of material existence, spoke this Srimad Bhagavatam, the cream of all Vedic literatures, after first assimilating it by his own experience. And still, Srila Gurudev is more. We can't imagine that. So Gurudev knows the heart of everybody. So he was knowing the heart of this dog also. So he was telling his associates that the master of the dog, he did take very good care of the dog and he did love the dog, as long as the dog was satisfying to his senses. But then when the dog started getting older, he thought, how am I going to get rid of this dog? So he brought him to the beach. And dogs will be dogs, as you've seen on the beach. So as soon as the dog saw a she-dog, he immediately ran after the she-dog. And the master thought, good, it's my chance to get away. So he got in his car and rode off, never to come back. So the dog is thinking, my master must come back, he loved me so much. But Gurudev said, this cruel master, he will never come back. But if you make your master Krishna, he will always come back and he'll always be with you. And so Srila Gurudev was relating this whole story with his meditating on this verse of the gopis evam vritam swa apriyanam Krishna, and how the gopis felt after, and so this is a verse that he was meditating on while he was chanting, and he was thinking of the gopis after Krishna left for Mathura, and then Dwarka. They were thinking that we want to die, but like the dog was thinking, if I do die, if I do jump into the ocean and die, and then if my master comes back, I'll feel very bad, so I won't die. But really, that's a perverted reflection, obviously. The gopis are thinking that if we die now, Krishna promised, parsanaunga, I will come back the day after tomorrow. Now it's months later, but they're thinking, Krishna must certainly come back. And if he comes back and sees that we've died, his grief will know no bounds, and he'll also die. So for his sake, we'll stay alive. So so he told us the story at that time. Then, maybe a year or two later, when Gurudev was in Russia, again he was telling the story. And as he was telling the story, he started weeping, because, you know, everything reminds a pure devotee of his own relationship with Krishna, and his relationship is that he's absorbed in the gopis' love. So Gurudev was telling this whole story that I just told, retelling it as he told in Italy. And he was wearing this very light, light means very small flowers, purple flowers, like about, each flower was about that big. And so he was wearing the garland, and then he was, you know, sometimes when he weeps in class, he'll take his, what do you call this thing? No, that's what I have, but he has a, what do the sannyasis have? Either his cheddar or his... Anybody, what is that thing the sannyasis have? The top of the sannyasi robe? Okay, whatever it's called. So, you know, so he picks it up and he starts wiping, putting his eyes underneath his glasses. Then he went like this, and the whole garland is like burst into separate flowers that flew up in the air, and here's Gurudev weeping. So the whole place in Russia starts weeping. So I told that story because it was his meditation as he was chanting. And it's the meditation of the pure devotees when they think, when they chant the holy name, they become absorbed in Krishna's pastimes and their part in it, or remembrance of Krishna's past pastimes and their separation from it. So another verse, because right now, I don't know about any of you, but I never chant Harinam. I only chant Namaparad, which is aparads to the name, but not the name. When does the name come? As it is. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Makehiti Vado Swayam Eves Paratyada. No one can understand the holy name, fame, form, or pastimes of the Lord by these gross material senses. It's just like a material sound, like syllables. But when Krishna is pleased with our service, and our service begins with the tongue, that is chanting, speaking the glories of Krishna, honoring prasadam, service begins with the tongue, when Krishna is pleased that the service is so sincere, then Krishna manifests his name, manifests as a sporty. That name becomes Krishna, just like with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amala Harinam Amiya Vilasa. All the holy names, all the pastimes of the Lord are in the holy name. It's not that the pastimes are in the holy name, but the holy name is that Krishna who engages in all those pastimes. What page is Harinamatua, Anekaswarupa? So in this song, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying that, O Harinam, you yourself, 139, you yourself killed Putana. The name killed Putana. You yourself danced in the Rasa dance. You yourself killed the Keshi demon. How is that? Because the name is actually Krishna. Back in 1966, our Srila Prabhupada gave a very interesting analogy in this regard. We were in the New York temple. It was Prabhupada's first temple. And some devotees went ahead of Prabhupada to get the second temple ready. And then one devotee from New York went to, that's in San Francisco, he went just before Prabhupada. And then he called Prabhupada on the phone, and they were talking. So in the class, Prabhupada said that, here we are, 3,000 miles apart, yet, by the phone, and in those days they didn't have digital phones, where you could just walk around in the streets and talk to somebody on the other side of the planet. So in those days they were just regular landline phones. So he said, because of the wires, you know, the all those wires that go from San Francisco to New York, even though we're 3,000 miles apart, we're with each other. Rai Rama is here with me by sound. So then he said, if this is possible for an ordinary conditioned soul, embodied being, then what to speak of Krishna, how he can be present by sound. So the holy name is the subtlest form of Krishna. Once, back in 1993, I asked Srila Gurudev, is it okay to meditate on this prayer to Govardhan while I'm chanting Harinam? Pramada marana lila kandare kandare te rochayatam navajanor dandamasmin namandam iti kila kalanartam lagna kastadayome nijanikati nivasam dehi govardhanatvam. O Govardhan, you are experiencing unlimited ecstasy because Radha and Krishna, you're mad with ecstasy, because Radha and Krishna are performing their pastimes within your caves and kunjas. Please be merciful and give me a residence near you. Nijanikati nivasam. Please give me a residence at your lotus feet. So I said, is it okay to think of that, that's Govardhan, when I'm chanting Hare Krishna, which means Radha Krishna? So Gurudev said, yes, you can pray to anybody who will help you. So all these personalities, like we have so many prayers to different personalities, to Jamuna is in the Mangalacharna section, Chirananda Bano, Sarananda Sono. You are made of liquid praying. O daughter of the sun god, please purify me. Prayers to Lord Shiva as Gopiswara. Vrindavanava nipate jaya soma mole. Prayers to Yogamaya. Radhe shakedi prabhuta vinoda. All of them, they're all within the holy name because Amala Harinam Ami Abhilasa. All the pastimes of the Lord or within the holy names. And all these personalities are parts of the pastimes. So they're all there. When I think of that, I remember Navadvipa Mahatmya by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In the last part of the book, in the discussion between Nityananda Prabhu, who is the first Parikrama leader, taking Jiva Goswami, who is the first Parikrama pilgrim, in that discussion, it stated that when conditioned souls go on Parikrama of the Holy Dham, they're not really in the Holy Dham. They're in the thin covering of Maya, which is over the Holy Dham. But the benefit of being there is that those pure devotees who are actually in the Holy Dham and part of the Lord's pastimes of that Dham, they come out from the Dham up into that Maya covering and give their association and then bring the conditioned souls back under the layer into the real Holy Dham. So who can tell me why I said that example? We'll have to dredge our memory for the last 3 minutes because we changed our bodies since then. We're giving different prayers of the different great personalities and how the personalities that we're praying to, like Yogamaya, Gurudev, pure Vaishnavas, are within the holy name. And so that reminded me that they're also in the holy Dham and they come and get us. So similarly, when we're praying to them, while we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and in my mind I'm thinking Prabhupada Madana Leela and the English translation. Or if I'm not adept in Sanskrit, I can just think of the English translation. Remember Govardhan and ask him to help me chant in such a way that I can also serve in the pastimes. On that same day that Gurudev told me it's all right to pray to anyone, I should pray to anyone who can help me. At the same time, he said, you can chant the Manashiksha prayers too. Then he said, remember that we've heard, I'm sure most of us have heard this example. I know I heard it from our Srila Prabhupada from the very beginning when I first met him in 1966 in New York City. And I know that Prabhupada also gave this instruction, that one should beat his mind 100 times in the morning with a shoe and 1,000 times at night with a broomstick. So, like if you try and do that, nothing's really going to happen. So, but we hear that at the beginning, just to get us started. Gurudev explained there that the meaning of beating your mind 100 times with a shoe and 1,000 times with a broomstick means to pray very sweetly these prayers of Manashiksha. O mind. Anybody? First verse? Chaitanya Shakti. Loud. Thank you. So that we can think while we're chanting Nam and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then the third verse, O mind, if you want to live eternally in Braj, as a Ragatmika Bhakta, that is, as one of the associates of the Lord, then always remember and bow down with great love to Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami, to Rupa Goswami, to his elder brother Sanatana Goswami, and to all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are recipients of his mercy. So then I think, wow, then I have to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita so I can get to know them. And there are some songs in the songbook where they're being glorified. So everything works with everything. The books work with the songbooks, works with the holy name. And we have a lot of fun relating them. You can see that chanting this way, by remembering these things, even though we're fallen in condition, and Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Sudarshan Prabhu Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Damodar Ji Ki Jai, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Shri Giriraj Govardhana Ki Jai. You know what Jai means? It means victory in an external literal sense. But why do we say Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Damodar Ji Ki Jai? All victory to you? What does that mean?
Victory over our heart.
So what are we saying? Oh, victory over our hearts? Or how would you rephrase that?
So they would come out of it?
Hmm?
They would come to our heart?
Oh, please be victorious over my heart. Right. So there's some Hindi-speaking people here. You both speak Hindi? So when Jai means victory, what's the opposite? What is defeat? Parajai? Parajai. So wherever there's jai, there's parajai, defeat. If there's going to be a victorious party, then there has to be a defeated party. So what party do I want to be defeated? Oh, and what happens to a defeated party? Like if anybody here is unfortunate enough to read newspapers, or to hear the news on TV, you'll see that when one country takes over another country, they just completely take it over. Sometimes they even take the women, they steal everything, they control the government, people don't have any freedom anymore. So similarly, the enemy is my lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy, my words, my belly, my anger, all those things, they're all the enemies. So when I say Jai, I'm praying that may you be victorious, O Gurudev, O Jagannath, O Radha Damodar, O Harinam. May you be victorious over all these enemies, like my lust, anger, and greed. Please completely take me over. So it has very, very deep meanings. Jaya Harinama. Jaya Jaya Harinam. Oh Harinam, please be victorious. You destroy birth and death. You, just a mere sporty of you. Tava Svalpa Porti Pai. Ugra Tapa Dure Jai. Jai means it's gone. Just by a small vision of the holy name, all miseries disappear. All birth, old age, disease, and death disappears. And the holy name gives me my spiritual body. So therefore, Bhakti Vinoda Koi, Jaya Harinama Jai. All glories to the holy name, which means not just all glories to you, you stay where you are and I'll stay where I am, but please be victorious over these enemies. Please fully take me over. So many verses, wonderful verses in the Manashiksha to think of at the time of Harinam. Once, I forget exactly what city it was either New York or Houston, in Gurudev's very first world tour in 1996. And at that time, the girls could go on the walk too. Later on, it became only the men because Gurudev was doing exercises. But in the beginning, we were going on the walks with him. But even though I was on a walk with like the Manjari of Goloka Vrindavan and of the, you know, sacred Nikunjas, who arrange for the blissful pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and sometimes even chastise Krishna. And sometimes Krishna will even have to bow down to my Gurudev. And sometimes Krishna will weep and say, please, I beg you, give me darshan of Srimati Radhika. And then Gurudev might say in that form, all right, but first tell me where you came from. And if he doesn't like the story, then he'll say, well, you can just go right back where you came from, because I'm not having any black cheaters come and see my Swami. And then Krishna would fall at her feet and beg, and then, okay, she'll take him by the hand and bring him in, if he begs pardon for Madhurai. So, walking with this personality, I'm busy lamenting, because somebody, one of the devotees had just called me all kinds of names, I'm puffed up, and I'm this, that, and the other thing. So I was just lamenting, oh, I'm puffed up, oh, I'm not humble, I'm not nice to devotees. And then Gurudev doesn't call me that often. He never called me that often. But this time, after the walk, he went into his room and he called me into his room. And he said, it's not enough to lament. You have to have positive thoughts while you're chanting. And then he quoted this ninth verse of Manashiksha, which is, O mind, always think of Krishna as the Lord of the life of my Swamini, of my mistress, Srimati Radhika. And always think of Srimati Radhika as my mistress. Always think of Srimati Lalita as her peerless friend. And always think of Vishakha, always meditate on Vishakha daily, as my Shiksha Guru. And always think of the two great personalities, Govardhan and Jamuna, as those great merciful personalities who give spontaneous love for Radha and Krishna. So again, he's always encouraging us to not do nam alone. If I try to just do nam alone, just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, don't think of anything else, oh mind, don't think of anything else, just Hare Krishna, then naturally, because the material world is full of varieties, they will attract my attention because I want variety. If I'm just thinking that I'm Krishna Das, a general Krishna Das, this is not enough to keep me occupied. I'll go to become the das. I have so many das occupations in the material world. I'm das of my tongue, I'm das of my eyes, I want to see all kinds of beautiful things, I want to see the beautiful opposite sex, I want to touch soft things, I want to feel warm. So if I'm just thinking of a general das, on the spiritual level, it's not enough. I need variety. So I need to know specifically what kind of das I am, or dasi I am, and meditate on those kind of prayers while I'm chanting nam. I have so many specific relationships in this world. I'm the sister of somebody, I'm the aunt of somebody, I'm the daughter of somebody, I'm the friend of somebody, I'm the enemy of somebody, which also occupies my mind. This person is my enemy, they said this and that to me, how am I going to get them back? And Ram, Ram, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna. See, what am I going to do to get them back? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So I have so many relationships. Or I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Gurudev said this. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, Madhu Mukti, I can't believe David, I haven't seen you in so long. Hari Ram, Hari Ram.
And what was the price of cucumbers again?
Hari Ram, Hari Ram. Because it's relationship, and I'm attached to relationship. So unless I have a specific, varied relationship in the spiritual world, I won't be able to pull my mind away from these varieties. So as we mentioned on the first night that we were speaking about Nam, all the songs of the Acharyas, all the small prayers of the Acharyas, are all meant for one thing. Whether the song and prayer is simply expressing how wretched I am, or it's asking for ecstatic symptoms, or it's asking for direct service, or resonance in the Dham, whatever it seems to be asking for, it's ultimately that song or prayer, if it's by any of our Rupanuga Acharyas, it's always asking for ultimately Manjari Bhav, as we discussed then. Because this is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. He came to give a Braj Prem through Nam. And he told everyone to make a wreath of the holy name around one neck with the flowers of Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. That is, because I have that goal in mind, without a goal there's no process. Here we are at such and such an address in Puri, this temple. And people came from all over the world, actually, to come to this temple. Kapila, you came from Hawaii to come to this temple. And you took a plane, and you took a taxi, and you took so many things. But if he didn't know where he was going to Puri from Hawaii, he wouldn't have been able to know which way to turn first coming out of the driveway. So we can't even begin real sadhana. We can do sadhana abhas, that is a shadow of sadhana, or sadhana parad, no problem, without a goal. But to do real sadhana, what is the definition of sadhana, anybody? Sadhana bhakti? The engagement in the nine processes of devotional service, beginning Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, for the express purpose of developing Bhava Bhakti, which is already eternally residing in the heart in the form of seed. So if we have that goal, then we can do pure sadhana. Otherwise it's sadhana bhas or sadhana aparad. And we can't have the goal of Bhava Bhakti unless we know what Bhav we want. So therefore, our very merciful Rupanuga Acharyas are giving us this goal. Once, back in 1992 or 3, I told Gurudev, my chanting is so dry. So he said, it will be dry, the way you're going at it. He said, you have to start thinking of Krishna's pastimes at different times of the day. Like, what time is it now? It's such and such a time. And now Krishna is doing the pastime of the boat pastime with the gopis. That is, he is disguised as a boatman. And the gopis want to get to the other side of the lake, Jamuna, or Manasi Ganga with their big pots. And so he says, or they beg him, oh boatman, please take us across this Jamuna or this Manasi Ganga. Or different times it happens in different ways. Sometimes Krishna invites them. And then when they get on the boat and in the middle of the lake or the middle of the river, Krishna makes a hole in the boat. And he starts rocking the boat. And he says, I'm afraid this boat is very old and shabby. I'm afraid it's going to sink. Unless you do something, you're carrying these big pots, unless you throw them off the boat, I'm afraid we're going to sink. And Krishna's making the boat rock even more. So then they throw off their pots. Then he said, well, you know, your ornaments are very heavy. You'll have to throw those off too. So they throw their ornaments off. And finally, he rocks the boat so much that Radharani embraces him in fear. And this is actually the reason that Krishna performed the boat pastime. And then he just plugged in the hole and the boat was fine. So Gurudev has told so many pastimes. In Prabhupada's Krishna book, there are so many pastimes. In so many of the books, there are so many pastimes. So we can also try and remember pastimes. And then, along with the prayers, for service to the pastimes. Also, in his Shikshastakam, it's said that one should meditate on these Shikshastakam prayers daily. So, okay, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then at the same time thinking the Trinadapi verse or verse 4. Nadanam najanamana sundarim kavitam avajagadisha kamane mama janamani janamani swade bhavatara bhakti rohaitiki tway. I don't want any wealth. I don't want any beautiful men or women. I don't want to be immersed in beautiful poetry. All I want, birth after birth, is your causeless devotional service in my life. So if I don't want that, and I'm saying it, am I lying? What I'm doing is, as we mentioned a couple of nights ago from Gurudev's analogy, when you take a rope and go back and forth in the rock, it'll gradually make an impression. If you let water drop, if you don't fully turn the faucet off, and the water drops, gradually it starts making impressions in that hard rock. So by singing these verses, remembering the songs, gradually it makes an impression and starts changing our identity. So it's now 10 to 8. I'll ask if there's any questions or comments. Are there no hands because it was bored, you were bored to death?
Actually, it was so much.
No question? Shambhu, any question? Okay, well, I'll have to fill up the 10 minutes then. Now this is, we can't imitate our acharyas, but they came to set an example for us of how to chant, what we want to achieve. Again, without a goal, there's no question of a process. So our acharyas are all appealing to us to follow our Rupa Goswami and the number one Rupanuga, Raghunath Das Goswami. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoi Bayakuti Habi Hama Bujubasi Jugala Piriti. When will I take shelter and follow Rupa and Raghunath and understand their books so that I can understand the love of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna? So Srila Raghunath Das Goswami gave us a very, very wonderful book called Vilapa Kusmanjali. And Srila Gurudev has lectured on about 50 of those 104 verses. And there, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is showing how to be a pure sadhak of Raghunuga Bhakti. That is, he's chanting and praying within his heart for the direct service of Srimati Radhika. Like, for example, he's praying, when in the morning will I clean your drains in Yava and then dry them with my hair? When will I bathe you? When will I massage you with very fragrant oils and bathe you and dress you and ornament you? I'm combining a few verses. So as he's praying, because he's a Raghunuga sadhak of Bhava Bhakti, so as he's praying, he goes through three stages. We want to come to this. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself, he also, in the mood of Radhika, and to teach us how a Bhav Sadak goes through these stages, he also did these three stages. Number one, Bahir Dasha, external consciousness. That doesn't mean the external consciousness that we have of being absorbed in the externals. External consciousness for them means that I'm aware of the world around me, but I'm not attached to the world around me. I'm absorbed in separation of the service of Radha and Krishna. I'm conscious that I have this body, but I'm not at all thinking about it. I can write, I can speak, that's what external consciousness means. I can function in the world, but my heart is always absorbed in separation, which is the goal of our chanting, to be immersed in bhajan of separation, which ultimately leads to meeting, which ultimately leads to more separation, and so on forever. This also goes on with the associates of the Lord, meeting and separation, nourishing each other and increasing forever. Only there it's full of pleasure, and here it's not that way because we identify with the body. So external consciousness, then going into Arjya Bahir Dasha, or half external, half internal consciousness, and then going into Anto Dasha, which is internal consciousness. So chanting Hare Krishna and weepingly, as we mentioned the other night from Srila Gurudev, he said if you want to attain Krishna's darshan, then you must do weeping sankirtan. And the gopis taught that in their gopi geet. So he's chanting and praying, and then he leaves his external consciousness, goes into internal consciousness, and there he is as Rati Manjari, serving in that particular pastime. And then, at some point, the pastime just disappears. Like, for example, Krishna is late, and Radharani has been waiting all night, and now it's the morning. And now Krishna comes, and Radharani says, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And Krishna is begging, and then Radharani says, all right, then you have to beg forgiveness and paint my feet. So Krishna is overwhelmed with happiness that he gets this service. And he's taking Radharani's feet, and as he's painting it, he's putting it, her feet on his heart. And the wet paint called lac or alta gets on his chest And then his chest, which is blue or dark, starts looking like the dark Jamuna with two red lotuses growing from them, which is Radharani's red lotus feet. And then, because he's trembling so much, his heart is trembling, his hand is trembling, he can't do it very well. I mean, he does it well, you can imagine, if God is trembling in ecstasy, what kind of art that is. But Radharani's not satisfied that he's in enough ecstasy. She wants to increase his pleasure. So in order to increase his pleasure, she wants to increase his feeling of separation and anxiety. So she said, "Oh, neophyte painter, you don't know how to paint." And she indicated with her eyes to Rati Manjari that take the brush from him, you paint, show him how to paint. So Rati Manjari took the brush, and Krishna got in all kinds of anxiety. And Rati Manjari started laughing. So Radharani pretended that she didn't like that she laughed at Krishna because he's in so much anxiety that he lost his service. So she kicks Rati Manjari on the arm. Like, don't make fun of Krishna. But actually, Radharani's pleased. So then her arm gets marked with the stamp of the impressions on Radharani's feet, because they're wet. So then she's become so much in ecstasy that now I'm a stamped servant, Chapmara. I'm a certified servant of the government of Srimati Radhika. And then she, all of a sudden, the arm disappears, Radharani disappears, Krishna disappears, the scene disappears. And then she finds herself rolling on the banks of Radhakund in this half-internal, half-external stage. Dasha means stage. And then praying again, when will I get that service again? And then coming into external consciousness. And then weeping and weeping. Then again entering into internal consciousness. So that's the stage we want to come to in our chanting. Personally, I can't imagine being in that stage because I'm just so conscious of all kinds of mundane things. But yet, if we don't know what the goal is and think about that, then we won't know which way to turn. We won't be able to begin our sadhana. So therefore, we need to know the goal of chanting, and how pure devotees chant, and how Gurudev's encouraged us to begin chanting and remembering. So are there any one question? It's 8 o'clock, otherwise we'll end.
Today I was looking at the different symbols for Lord Chaitanya's feet and Lord Krishna's and Srimati Radhika's, and I noticed that a lot of the symbols on Srimati Radhika's and Sri Krishna's are kind of like a combined version on Lord Chaitanya's feet. I'm wondering if you could maybe say something about that, since you mentioned the symbols on the feet.
Yeah, unfortunately I can't. After I begged for a question, I can't answer it. But I can answer something like that.
Okay.
Because, as you said, Lord Chaitanya is a combination. Or he's Radharani. He's Krishna, covered by the mood and complexion of Radharani. So there's one prayer by Narahari Sagara, which is in which he glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a most unusual way, that I know that you're not really Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I know you're really that Lumpat Guru, Guru of the debauchees, Krishna. And I know that in the name of renunciation, you know, you're a renounced sannyasi, you have your saffron dhoti. That's a combination of Radha and Krishna's, that is, Krishna embraced the gopis. You, Krishna, you embraced the gopis, you Lumpad Guru. You embraced the gopis, and thus you became covered with their kumkum. And that's how you have a golden complexion and you're wearing your saffron cloth. And when the fancy unguent design of Krishna becomes overwhelmed by Srimati Radhika and her unguents, like Ramananda Rai, first saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he is, and then he saw him as Rasaraj Mahabhav, that is the combination of Radha and Krishna. There's Krishna covered, and every one of his limbs is covered by the limbs of Radharani. And Krishna's luster, luster is peeping through the limbs of Radharani, and Radharani's luster is peeping through Krishna's limbs. And they both become one as the renunciate, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all the fancy unguents of Radha and Krishna becomes the renounced tilak of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I couldn't answer about the feet marks, but I tried to cover some other combinations. So I guess we'll end here on that note. Srila Gurudeva ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Harina Mahamantra ki jai, Gaur Premanandi. It's short bhajan. Any that you're inspired? Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that's another one. That's a good one to think about always, especially while I'm singing it. And also while I'm taking her enough.
Goranga bolite hobe kulaka sare
Chande karuna aayi
Gauranga. Yeah. Vedanta Bhagavan Nityananda Rupi Sri Harinam Sankirtani Ki Patita Pavan Shila Guru Pad Padma Ki Patita Pavan Shila Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaur Brahmanande
Om Vrindayai Tulsi Devyai Priyayai Keshavasya Cha Krishna Bhakti Pude Devi Satyavachaya Namo Nama Panchakopatirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama
Pull the table. Thanks. Thanks, it sinks so beautifully. Thank you for coming, Shambhu.
Of course. Who has it better than me?
I don't know.
I don't know.